And welcome once again to This Week in MCU, the after show talking all things Marvel Cinematic Universe related. I'm Kurt, and with me, as always, is my good friend, Senraven. Hey.
Hey, good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. What's going on?
Oh, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, a little bit of, as we do, Marvel TV speculation. Holy cow.
Just a little?
Just a little. Man. So, yeah, it's this thing is only 6 episodes.
Yeah, they got to move pretty quick.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how it all goes. So, but before we jump into that, you got any news from around the MCU?
I'm not seeing anything huge other than there's a bunch of rumors that Adam Driver and Margot Robbie are out for Fantastic Four.
Really?
Yeah, like 4 or 5 spots that are saying rumors on that. So we'll see if that's true. Well, but it was also never confirmed that they were in.
I was gonna say, were they ever actually confirmed?
No, it wasn't confirmed, but it was rumored that he was gonna be Reed's, which could be good.
I think that's an interesting choice.
Yeah, I'm perfectly fine without Margot Robbie as an Invisible Woman because she's got so many other things that it's just kind of like, okay, great. Now she's in MCU as well.
Right.
Somebody named Vanessa Kirby rumored for the Invisible Woman role. I'm not familiar with the name.
I know in non-MCU news.
Oh, I do recognize the face.
We got an announcement for the new Lois Lane.
Oh, yes, yes.
Which I think is a really interesting choice. And I can't remember her name, but she was the main character in Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yeah.
So
I am very happy with that choice.
Yeah.
I really, really like that show.
Right. Right.
It was like the last season was really good. There was a few episodes. I'm like, whatever. But overall, I very much enjoyed that show.
I didn't finish.
I hate that family. Those families.
I literally only watched the first season. And not that I didn't enjoy it thoroughly, I just never got around to going on for those. So I'm really looking forward to doing that at some point.
Another streamer, Vash, they do a couple of different podcasts. He used to do camera work. I don't remember what his role was, but he was on either the first 2 or the first 3 seasons of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he got to work on that. Vanessa Kirby, since I recognize the face but not the name,
yep,
was the sister in Fast and Furious Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, okay.
And other stuff too, like Mission Impossible. She was part of the team. Looks like she's back for the 2023 movie coming up.
Yep.
Dead Reckoning Part 1. But I recognize her from Fast and Furious.
Okay. All right. So, interesting. Yeah, I still think it would be interesting to see. The problem is John Krasinski was a great casting, right?
Yes, he's kind of like the perfect cast, but only if you can get Emily Blunt with him.
I think that'd be awesome. Right.
That would be a fantastic pairing, but I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't either. So then I keep because I think part of the issue is that you don't want him to be too young.
Right, because doesn't come across as believable, but you can't be too old because then they can't carry for 10 years.
Right. Right. And so I think that I like the idea of a Fantastic Four that has been around for a long time, but has been away, whether it's in the negative zone or somewhere, and just has been around. You know, kind of like the Eternals, right?
Right.
Where hiding in plain sight or just they've been away. I like the idea so that we don't necessarily need an
origin. I like the story. Idea of them being away more.
Yeah.
Than you know, because that was one of the problems with Eternals.
Yep.
Like, really? You didn't do anything about it? Like,
right. Well, I mean, so the other part of all the Eternals thing, right, is that since the Eternals, we now see like movie posters for is it Kurgo?
Oh, I don't remember the character name.
But you know, his family, right, even though it was him the entire time.
He looks so much like his grandfather.
Yeah. All the movie posters, and which is fine, but it would have been really cool if we had gotten those like a couple years before, if we knew. And just had them there, and they go, "Yeah, you don't realize it's this guy." And it's like, "Oh, that would have been cool." But whatever. I still think the Eternals is going to have a longer lasting impact than people think.
Oh, absolutely.
That's why I don't totally write off that movie.
I mostly enjoyed it.
I did too.
There was parts I didn't like, but I very much liked it. Overall, I very much liked the movie, and yeah, you know, the stuff that we got coming up, that's coming out of it, is going to be pretty major.
I think we've had one mention,
yeah,
of the head coming out of the ocean.
Yeah, it came up once,
which
is super weird.
It's so super weird because that's a big deal.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't mention it so in
Secret Invasion.
Invasion yet.
Well, and I think it's. I don't know. I don't know why, because it's, you know, we've got these worldwide implications. So, okay, why don't we go ahead and jump into it? But before we do, if you want to follow us, you can follow us on twitch.tv/VOByKurt and subscribe to the podcast by going to anchor.fm/this-week-in-MCU. Or Spotify owns Anchor, right? And so they've changed up how they're doing their promotions now. So just search for This Week in MCU. I'll fix the URL at some point. But This Week in MCU will absolutely bring us up. So if you want to watch us live, if you have subscribed to twitch.tv and put on the bell, you'll know. With that, if you have any comments, questions, suggestions, send an email to thisweekinmcu@gmail.com. And if you leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts /iTunes, we will read it live here on the show. So, the episode 2, it's called Promises, for a good reason. Just bringing this up here. Okay. We get a previously on, as you always do. And we get just the Marvel flicker. Again, no zoom in on the Marvel logo with all the clips in the logo. Maybe they're getting rid of it. Maybe it was a production issue. Not quite sure. But yeah, that's what's happening. So, and we open in Brixton, London in 1997. And a bunch of Skrulls are showing up to a young Fury, because they've done the young Nick Fury thing with the eye patch. And Vara, a Skrull, brings in a young Skrull named Gravik. And we met Gravik as an adult last episode. And apparently Gravik's parents, we get a little backstory, they were killed by the Kree. And Gravik jumped in a spaceship and flew himself to Earth.
He's Superman.
He is a kind of angry young Skrull. And so,
I wonder why.
Yeah. So,
damn that rap music.
Yeah, so Fury basically, Vara says, "Hey, you need to talk to this kid. We could use him." And Talos enters and addresses all the Skrulls in the room. And we see a young Gaia there with Sorin. And Talos is saying, "Look, I trust this man. he believes that humans and Skrulls can trust each other. And Fury is asking for help from the Skrulls, and he basically wants them to be his spies, since they can shapeshift and he can use them for intelligence gathering.
Yeah, that would be helpful, right, for spies?
Yep, yep. And he said, basically, Carol Danvers and I promise we're going to find you a new home. And if you can believe in me, or if you believe in me, I'll believe in you. That kind of thing. And okay, cool. And we flip.
Let's go do bad things together.
Yeah. So we flip to the present day, and Gravik is leaving the bombed out square in Moscow, which we saw last week. And Fury is standing over Hill's body, still trying to figure out what's happening and just mourning, really. And Gaia and Gravik take off in a car, and Fury is pulled away by seemingly cops, thrown into a black van, along with the Skrull who took on, who we saw take on an identity last week, who just keeps yelling, "I'm an American, I'm an American," when they throw him into a van.
Yeah, the Americans Against Russia movement.
Americans Against Russia, right.
Very creative name.
So we find out after Fury gets thrown into the van that it's Talos who pulled Fury away and threw him in the van, and he shapeshifts back to Talos. And we get title sequence. So now...
I don't know. I don't know if I'm sold on the title sequence.
I don't care for it.
Yeah, I kind of liked it the first time around, and I'm like, I don't know, it's kind of funky.
Well, so it's AI generated, for one thing. And it has that vibe about it, right? When it comes to the faces and everything. And maybe that's the purpose. Maybe that's the reason, right?
I think that is the reason.
Because AI does funky faces, and funky faces happens to work with the Skrulls.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And everything's very morphous. And so maybe that's the point. I don't know. I still don't really like the aesthetic. So, but... it's very green and very much matches the Skrull aesthetic.
Yeah.
So we then we zoom in on a train. We're on a train, and Russian soldiers are coming by to check staterooms, and they check a room, and they're looking for Fury, and there's a woman there, and she's going, "Yeah, a black man in Russia on a train, he won't stick out." And they chuckle and they take off, and she closes the door and she transforms back to Talos, and Fury comes out of the bathroom where he was hiding and talking about whether Talos has heard from Gaia, and he's saying not yet.
So I have a pet peeve when it comes to TV shows and movies.
Yeah.
When they cast somebody who's supposed to be Russian.
Yep.
And they start speaking in Russian, and for those of you listening, in air quotes, Russian, because you can hear how terrible the accent is. These guys are not. Everybody that they put in episode 1 and 2, when they start speaking Russian, they're actually like proper accent, proper speech. And I was very happy with that, because I, for some reason, I don't know, maybe because I'm from there, it annoys the hell out of me when I hear that in a movie or a show, and then the translations get messed up and as well. So they actually nailing it.
I thought you were going to go completely the opposite direction on that. I thought you were going to say how terrible they were.
No, they're perfect. Like the military guys were, like, their accents are, you know, perfectly fine. They're just speaking Russian. Well, there's no accent. They're just speaking Russian.
Right.
Unlike usual, when somebody would be trying to speak in Russian, it would be absolutely horrible. Like, you know, Black Widow in the first movie,
right?
You know, she does fine because she's not, you know, she's supposed to be Russian, but I guess mostly grew up in America, and that was my thing for the Black Widow movie as well. The way they did the accents for the kids, but yeah, I was just very happy to see that. You know, every time they actually speak Russian, they're doing perfectly well on it.
Okay, well, maybe they hired some Russian actors.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, it's just like every single time that comes up, I'm like, God damn it, can you please just hire somebody that can speak proper Russian?
Right.
Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
No, that's okay. That's all right. So basically, they're talking about whether or not Talos has heard from Gaia, and he said not yet. And Fury is recounting a tale of riding trains with his mom in Alabama and talks about games his mom would make up.
I love that whole sequence.
Yeah, yeah. And
it is so good.
He goes, yeah, so she made up this game called Tell Me Something I Don't Know. And he said, she would ask me the question, tell me something I don't know about you and Susie. Now, Susie, he goes, yeah, Susie and I used to play doctor on the regular behind the barn. But I wasn't about to tell her that. So I said, we found a polka-dotted bullfrog. And he goes, that lie right there told my mom everything she needed to know about me and Susie. So
I can just hear him saying that with a boy, if you don't tell me the truth.
Right. Right. So Fury says, okay, let's play a couple of rounds. Tell me something I don't know about the destruction of Skrullos, the home planet. And Talos is going, well, I told you everything already. And he's going, tell me something I don't know.
That's not the name of the game.
Right. And he said, yeah, so a million Skrulls fled the attack. And, yeah.
They're all here.
They're all here.
They're all here. And this is, no, this is in present day. This is not 97.
Correct. Correct. And Fury is, like, livid. And basically, Talos says, yeah, every Skrull who isn't in Emperor Drogue's colony is here on Earth. Now, the colony, they don't actually mention the name of the colony or anything like that, but Emperor Drogue is a scientist in the comics. And, okay, so in the comics, he was actually a scientist and is the one responsible for Super Skrulls.
Okay.
Now, the way that all... So this is where... I'm rereading Secret Invasion, the storyline in the comics, because I wanted to kind of get some context, because I did read it originally, and I forgot a lot. So in the comics, what happened was the Illuminati, and we saw a little bit of the Illuminati in Doctor Strange, right? So the Illuminati was Reed Richards, Namor, in the comics. Reed Richards, Namor, Black Panther, not Black Panther at the time. Professor X, Iron Man, and Black Bolt. And they basically said, hey, we need to like be able to do things in secret without getting everybody up in arms so that we can help protect the Earth. Cool. Great. Except the Illuminati went to Skrullos, or the Skrull home planet at the time, and tried to kind of take out some big bads.
And failed.
Failed miserably and left behind some of their DNA, whether they realized it or not. So the whole Secret Invasion thing is retaliation for the Illuminati attacking the Skrulls. Now, they're clearly not going that direction here.
No, and they're actually specifically not going in that direction, because there's a quote from, I think, from the director saying, yeah, we're not, this is not like the comic books.
Right.
We're not following that storyline.
Right, right. And just as well. Yeah. And we've already seen, but they did, you know, to kind of keep some of the fanboys happy, they did kind of keep some of the stuff. Like, I think I mentioned in the last episode, Pagon took the form of Elektra.
Yeah.
I was waiting for my echo to go off and it didn't. Pagon took on her visage and was the first to die as a hero. And that's when they, you know, she reverted to form, and that's when all the superheroes were like going, what the crap is going on? The other thing is, in pretty short order, what you find out is all the superheroes that have been replaced by Skrulls managed to finally escape from where they were being held, take over a spaceship, and crash landed on Earth. And they're facing copies of themselves going, well, we know who we are. Who are you guys? And so it's very different. It's very different here. And there is very much in the comics a religious overtone to the whole thing. You know, before a Skrull sacrifices themselves, they would say, he loves you, and then take their own life. So clearly, that's not anything mentioned here, and I don't believe, well, and clearly we're not getting Super Skrulls through Emperor Droge in this manner.
No.
So Fury is all pissed off and saying Talos lied, and Talos said, look, what would you have done? And Fury's like going, dude, the host sets the terms of the visitation. Like, if you get invited to somebody's house, you know, you have to abide by their rules. And Talos said, yeah, cool, except you disappeared.
Yeah, and the host left for 5 years.
Well, that's the other thing, right? Is like, in this case, he's referring to the blip.
Yep.
And what's interesting is, I guess Talos has a point, but Talos also must realize that half of those Skrulls disappeared as well.
Yeah.
Right? So, but Talos basically says, and when you came, you know, when you got back to Earth, you immediately took off and ran to the space station. And Fury's like, look, you knew how to contact me and you didn't. And Talos says, I just want humans and Skrulls to coexist on Earth. And Fury's like going, humans can't coexist with humans. What are you talking about? Like,
yeah, yeah. This whole idea that humans can coexist with an alien species on their own planet, considering the world, is absolutely ludicrous.
It actually is kind of a brilliant part of this conversation because, look, any other show might have gone, I understand you want to do right, but it's just not going to be as easy as the way you think, and not really deal with the whole humans can't exist with themselves. What are you talking about? The fact they took that angle, I think, was interesting, and it's not something that you would normally see.
Well, especially because he brings this up right after talking about being on the train with his mom, and then, you know, they're in the back carts. They're in hot as hell.
Not allowed to go to the food cart. Yeah,
right. So you have to bring your own.
Yep.
You know, it smells like chicken because we brought chicken.
Right. So so Fury goes, you know, I'm not even sure we can coexist on this train right now. So you're gonna need to leave, and Talos gets off the train. We flip over to London, because apparently that's where we're going. And we see Maria Hill's coffin being covered in the American flag, getting ready to fly home. Hill's mom is there, and she notices something, and it's Fury in the background. And Fury said, yeah, so they killed her because they were after me. And mom is pissed off, as expected, right?
Sure.
But she says, don't let her death be for nothing, which also is an interesting choice, right? They could have let her just be angry and grieving. And they basically said, make her death mean something. And clearly, Fury wants that as well.
I'm still surprised that they took her out like that.
I am too.
And she's still, like, she just finished doing some recordings. Because she's on Moon Girl and Devil Sword.
Oh, really? They use her voice for that?
Yeah, so she actually, there was a post saying that, you know, she just finished doing some audio work for it. So,
well, remember, Kobe Smulders isn't dead, right? So it could be that they bring her back for flashbacks and things like that.
Plus we have, I mean, it's multiverse and it's Skrulls. Right.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
They can just bring her back.
Well, she's not a Skrull. We know this.
Right. But right. We can have a Skrull basically playing her face.
Yeah, we could. We could. So then we flip over to some news broadcasts. We see CUV News is reporting on the bombing. Martin Wallace is identified as the leader of the Americans against Russia. And Martin Wallace is that Skrull from the first episode who took the mind of the human in the pod that they loaded in. And that Skrull's name is Brogan. So that's all going to be interesting. But we see the FXN broadcast, which is the one that's got Christopher McDonald from Happy Gilmore.
FXN, I saw this earlier. FXN is also the company that did... they had it on Daredevil.
Did they?
Yes, at the end when She-Hulk's being interviewed, FXN is the interview. Oh. Is the news station.
Okay. All right, I missed that. Okay, well, at least good. So I guess maybe they're giving up WHIH.
I mean, there's more than one news channel, right?
Right. Well, and the other thing is WHIH is probably New York centric since it's got call letters. So, okay, cool. So, and according to the news, Russia is expected to retaliate, or they're talking about retaliating. So. We flip to a nighttime scene, and Gaia and Gravik are in a car. And Gaia asks how Gravik knew Fury would be there. And Gravik is like, yeah, I didn't, but I had hoped. She said, well, you know, what'd you think? And he said he saw him, and he's old. He's a shadow of his former self. So... he's not wrong, and he's on his way to the Skrull Council meeting, and he wants to see their faces while Moscow is still burning. So they go in, and he goes into the chamber, and Gaia is not allowed to go in. So Gravik hands her a gun and says, "Hey, if I'm not out in an hour, shoot this guy in the head." It's like, okay. So we get in there, and we find out that the head of NATO, that Fox News anchor, Christopher McDonald, the British Prime Minister, they're all Skrulls, which is disturbing. The other two that are in the room that are on the council as well is Shirley Sagar and Jack Hyuk-bin, and we don't know what they represent. I don't think we ever saw that in the first episode or the second episode. No. But they're also thought to be world leaders.
I'm guessing, just to be stereotypical here, that the Asian guy is Yakuza.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that, but maybe so, right?
Just to be completely or stereotypical for a TV show.
Okay, you want to stretch. What if he represents the hand?
Oh, that'd be interesting too. Yeah.
Or okay, we can go another direction. What if he represents the Ten Rings?
Oh God. that'd be pretty cool. Like, yeah. I would like a tie-in with Shang-Chi.
Yep, I agree.
At some point, we're going to get a second movie, so...
Right. So, the council is there to mete out punishment to Gravik and are challenging him. And Gravik is saying, yeah, no, that's not the way that's going to go. Look, Fury promised us a new home, and then he switches to Skrullish, or whatever the name of the Skrull language is. And said, because they're all speaking English, they're all in their human forms, and he said Fury abandoned us. He lied, and he promised us that they would find us a new home, and he didn't. So Earth is going to be our new home because I'm going to take it. And Gravik is stating that this is a war. He escalates really quickly on that. And they say, well, okay, cool. That's all fine and dandy. What happens if the Avengers return? He goes, you don't think I didn't think about that? And Gravik wants their support. And the Prime Minister, Pamela Lawton, I think her name was, nominates Gravik as the Skrull general. And apparently they've been in cahoots. So
yeah.
Gravik stands up and basically say they basically say, you know, vote yay or nay, and if you're voting yes, you have to submit, which I guess is revert to your Skrull form and bow your head to the new head of everything. Skrull general is the Skrull in charge of the Skrull population, I guess. Talos used to be the Skrull general. So it looks like Shirley Sagar, one of the other world leaders, is the only one not to submit. And Gravik goes, yeah, fine, cool. Go in peace. We're not going to harm you. And he probably has that philosophy of like, I'm not going to harm another Skrull. Like, right. That's not what I'm going to do. We find out a little bit later, and that might not be the case. But so Shirley leaves, and immediately she calls Talos to tell him what happened. And Talos is asking for a meeting with Gravik. She's like, he's going to kill you. And he goes, make it a public place, you know, just whatever. So we see Gaia and Gravik leave, and they go to the refugee camp. And apparently word got out, because as soon as they show up, Gravik gets applauded. And now that I'm thinking about it and talking about it out loud, it could be just for the bombing, because they haven't seen the refugee camp since the bombing.
I'm guessing it's the bombing.
Yeah, yeah. So Gravik turns to Pagon and whispers something to him, and he leaves, and Gaia follows Pagon. And Pagon enters a lab, and a woman says, or a woman asks him if he has it, and Pagon says he doesn't have it, and he says because the harvest wasn't there. Because he's been traveling around to try to harvest something. The scientist that's there, the lab person, is Rosa Dalton, and she works with her husband. Dr. Dalton is an expert in DNA. And she goes, all right, well, if it's not there, then we have to scavenge because the DNA selection's limited. All right, cool. We see a reporter outside, and the reporter is talking about rumors. And it seems the world leaders are asking for the U.S. to account for itself. And we flip inside to committee chambers before the world leaders. And it's Rhodey sitting before the committee. And they're saying, so are you denying that Fury and Hill were at the scene of the attacks?
And allegedly.
And Rhodey's like, yeah, so I'm aware of the allegations. And they say, well, how do you explain Fury's presence then? He goes, alleged. And they said, well, do these pictures not, like, show you proof? He goes, so you're telling me that pictures that were supplied by the Russian government are supposed to be just taken at face value? Like, that's what I'm supposed to do? Rhodey seems a little bit more flip than normal to me.
Yeah. He's definitely...
Yeah. And we see the Slovakian representative roll her eyes at Rhodey. And Rhodey covers the mic, turns around, and says, I don't even know who that person is in the galley, but turns around and says, if Slovakia rolls its eyes at me one more time, I'm gonna put on the suit and carpet bomb it. I'm not sure he would ever say that out loud like that.
I don't know.
Maybe to Tony. Like that.
Yeah, I kind of like that from him, because it does feel like, you know, it could be a Rhodey line.
Right. And then the committee says, hey, so not for nothing, but why are you here? And he goes, I'm here as a courtesy. And they are like, shouldn't the president be here? And he's like, the president's pretty busy. Unless you have proof, you know, he's kind of busy running the biggest the strongest country in the world. So unless you have proof, that's all you get. So he basically says, yeah, so are we done? Because, like, I'm done. So he takes off. Rhodey gets a call, and it's Fury. and Fury wants to meet, and they meet at a tavern. And this scene is also pretty awesome. It is very much like the train scene in that it's just a great bit of dialogue and just a great set of acting between two good actors. Basically, Rhodey's pissed at Fury and said, "Look, I'm the last friend you got." And Fury looks around. He goes, "Hey, how well do you know your security detail?"
And they're not real.
Well, and I don't know how Fury would be able to tell just by looking, but whatever. I'm willing to admit they might be Skrulls. I mean, we don't know.
Yeah.
He goes, "Yeah, so this is big, and it's bigger than you think." And Rhodey's like, "So Hydra?" He goes, "Yeah, Hydra. If they were green and had the ability to shapeshift." And Rhodey just goes, "Oh, crap." Because he has heard about the Skrulls. And he goes, "How do you know?" He goes, "About 15 years ago, there was I was part of a security meeting, and it was eyes only, and I was told. And because we wanted to protect against if an invasion was going to happen from within." And Fury's like, "Yeah, so that invasion's happening, like, right now?" And Rhodey's like, "Can we call in our friends?" And Fury says, "We can't call them in, because next thing you know, they'll be duped and blamed for stuff. It'll be much worse." And Rhodey says, "Look, my hands are tied here, and we've got travel plans for you." And turns out Fury is being fired. And they have this really great conversation about them being black men, being put in power positions of power, fighting past the old white guys. And I'm paraphrasing, obviously. But fighting past the old white guys so that they can do something about the way things have been. And Rhodey's like going, "Yeah, that's all cool. But we need to hold ourselves to a higher standard to show that we deserve to be here." You know, that kind of thing. And it was a great conversation. And that's, I didn't want to try to paraphrase it too much, because it was just really, really well done. So basically, Fury's getting fired, and Rhodey says, "Yeah, you're out." And Fury just leans in and goes, "Yeah, but you got to remember, when I'm out, I'm still in." And it was just a great moment. And I was like, okay, cool. So Fury puts on a brave front and leaves. And then he sits on a park bench and he's completely distraught. Like, just like, this did not go the way he expected. We flip over to Sonya. Now, Sonya, there's some speculation that Sonya, who we met in the first episode, is actually a character called Spymaster.
Oh.
Who, depending on what part of the comics and everything, has some ties to the Ten Rings, but is just like a master spy type person. They've not given her a title. They've not said anything like that, but there's some speculation there. So the Russians that have captured Brogan are trying to torture him, and Sonya shows up and she goes, "Alright, you guys are gonna need to take off." And he goes, "We've been dealing with this for an hour. He's not saying anything. It's a lost cause." And she goes, "Yeah, so where are those shears? Okay, get out." So they take off, she goes, "Oh yeah, and where's the escape hatch?" And then he's going, "Why?" She goes, "Look, just, where is it?" And they point to it. They leave. She locks the door, puts a bar across it to prevent people from getting in. And she pulls out the shears, the garden shears, and she just chops off one of his fingers. Like, not even any, like, "Hey, I'm going to do this if you don't talk." She just does it.
Well, she basically broke into a Russian black site.
Right, right.
He just kind of walked in, and the guy at the front was like, that door was locked.
Yep. Yep. Oh, yeah, it's not locked anymore. Yep. So, and she chops off the finger, and the finger immediately reverts to being Skrullish. He goes, okay. You know, she goes, okay, we got that out of the way. And we flip over to Gaia, and she's sitting there looking at a computer and searching for Rosa Dalton, because she heard the name when she was following Pagon. And Rosa is a Skrull, and she is duplicating the person that is in Pod 19, because we saw that on the screen. I don't know that that means anything other than it's Pod 19, but whatever. So Gaia then pulls up the DNA samples that they have. They have samples from Groot. Yep, Groot.
Mm-hmm.
Frost Beast, which is one of those like frost giant like dogs, for lack of a better term, those beasts. Cull Obsidian,
yeah,
which makes perfect sense because the sample they show on screen is Cull Obsidian's hand, which got chopped off by a Doctor Strange portal.
Yeah, for. In the first
In Infinity War. Yep.
Yep.
So, which I thought was awesome attention to detail on that, and then Extremis, which we saw in Iron Man 3.
Yes.
With what was his name? I can't remember the dude's name.
Oh, neither can I. But he wound up bringing fire.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, and so did Pepper. Like so, yes. So yeah. So all of this to me tells me we're getting Super Skrulls, and I couldn't be more excited because I want to see how that all manifests itself. So the
Doctor couple is basically the show's version of the. Emperor or whatever.
Emperor Drogue. Yeah, clearly. That's the way they're going on that. So Gravik enters the room, and Gaia quickly surfs away like a champ. And Gravik says, hey, what are you doing? She goes, I'm just checking the status of our newest recruit. And she pulls up the screen for Beto, the Skrull from the beginning. And she's smooth. She is like cool as a cucumber, this whole thing. So, but then Gravik recalls when Gaia came to him, daughter of a failed general, which is why we know that Talos was the Skrull general. But we flip back to Sonya, and Sonya's torturing Brogan still. And he goes, I'm never going to say anything, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, huh, that's really weird. You know, people say that until their blood starts actually boiling. And she injects him with something. And she pulls out a needle, and he's like going, cool, you know, shoot me in the arm. I don't care. And she just jams it in the base of his back. It's like, oh, okay, that's got to be brutal. And yep, his blood just starts boiling, and it's bad.
He's mean.
Yeah, she's very mean. And she goes, "I need to know where Gravik is." And he and Pagon says, "Gravik is building a machine, and I think the words he said were to make him stronger."
Yeah, so I think they're going to go Super Skrull for Gravik.
I think, and Gravik is probably going to be the only Super Skrull because they can't do multiples, right? I mean, because if they do, that's insane. Like, that's just, like, from a TV show perspective, they just can't do more than one, right? And so, I'm just thinking Gravik is going to have the strength of Cull Obsidian, fire from Extremis, wood from Groot, And Frost from the Frost Beast, probably.
Yep.
He's just missing invisibility, really.
Pretty much.
Unless the Frost Beast can go invisible and I'm not aware of it. But I don't think they can.
I hope not.
Yeah. Sonya's like, who's leading the science? And at this point, Pagan's in too much. I mean, Brogan's in too much pain, and he's just like, oh, some married couple, last name of Dalton. Okay, cool. We flip outside, and the Russians guarding Sonya's room are standing there, and Greyvok and Pagan enter, and they're coming for Brogan, and Sonya gets away because they're shooting. You know, Pagan is shooting up the place. So Sonya gets into the escape tunnel and takes off. Gaia and Beto are outside waiting in the car, and Gaia says, "I'll be right back." And she gets into the alley, and she's on the phone, and I'm presuming she's calling Talos, but we don't know. So Pagan and Gravik get through. Gravik asks what he's told her, and Brogan says, "Nothing, just lies." Okay, cool. Yeah, we believe you. Flip outside to the car. The police are outside the Skrull safe house where they were. So they just keep driving, and they drive into the woods. And when you drive into the woods and it's dark and misty out, nothing good happens. Gravik hands Pagan a gun.
Yeah, go take care of this.
Yeah, Pagan takes Brogan outside of the car and shoots him, and he drops in the woods. What I found interesting about this is it was kind of throwaway, but that body's just going to be there.
Yep.
As if they want somebody to find it.
Some kid's going to come across it.
Exactly. So I don't want to forget that that body is there. I have a feeling that's going to matter. So next day, we see Fury. And he opens up a storage unit because he's got safe houses everywhere. And there's an SUV there. And he gets in, turns the key, and takes off. He's still in Europe because the steering wheel is on the wrong side of the car and he's driving on the wrong side of the road. So we flip to a house where there's a Skrull woman standing at a counter and she's cutting some veg. All right, cool. Fury stops at that house, walks in, and he looks around. He steps into the kitchen and there's a human woman cutting veg wearing the same outfit. And she looks at him, and she goes, "Are you forgetting something?" And he goes, "Okay." And he goes into the hallway, finds his wedding band,
yeah,
and puts it on.
That was so weird.
And he goes, "Is that better?" And she goes, "Almost." And then they end up kissing.
And scene.
Yeah, and scene. Now I am 99% sure that's Vara, who is Gravik's adopted mom, because remember, Gravik's parents got killed and Vara brought Gravik to Fury. I might be jumping on that because there was nothing that said Gravik grew up with Vara. But look, a kid being pissed off at his dad is not an unusual scenario.
Sure.
Right.
Except, you know, they don't usually go blow up Moscow. They like wreck the car or something.
Right. Right. Well, but also Gravik was old enough when his real parents died that he, yes, you know, he still is going to hold some of that resentment. And frankly, Fury did fail on his promise.
He did.
So, but he didn't attempt to explain anything to anybody because Fury doesn't do that. And yeah, so we get to credits. So a lot of speculation in this episode. Well, one, Super Skrulls gotta be coming, right? You don't drop that kind of information without that. And there has been speculation that Rhodey is also a Skrull. And given a little bit, the attitude was a little off for me. I could see that. And the question is, like, because obviously they want us all to think who's a Skrull, right? And so the questions are things like, is the president of the United States a Skrull? I think not, because I think he would have been on the Skrull Council.
Yeah.
Right? But having higher-ups in the White House, like Rhodey, would make sense.
Absolutely.
So
I don't like it, but I agree
I agree. I don't like it either. Well, and so here's where I don't go, that a lot of the weird speculation goes. What if Terrence Howard and...
Oh, no way.
So what if they were actually the same person?
No.
And Rhodey now is only appearing that way to us so that we know there's been a difference. I think that is so far-fetched. Like,
that's such a big stretch.
I would love it to be true because it would just make things so much more interesting. But it's such a giant stretch. I don't know. I don't know. I would love us to find out that Natasha was a Skrull.
Oh, that'd be crazy.
Well, it would be, except that's a way to bring her back.
Yeah.
They're not going to because they have Florence Pugh now. But
sure.
Yeah. Is the Contessa a Skrull?
That one I can believe.
Right? Especially she was married to what's his face? Yeah. To Martin Freeman's character, right? So, because I can never remember his name.
I'm blanking on a character name as well.
Ross. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So, So, if Valentina was a Skrull, they don't even need to reveal it until Thunderbolts, even. Right? I mean...
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I just love all the weird questions and all of that. I'm a little concerned that this is only 6 episodes.
It feels they gotta go fast.
It feels like a bigger story, right?
Which,
look, I love the Marvel TV shows. I want them to continue making them. But a lot of times... the way they have to close out the shows feels a little rushed.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that that's going to happen here. I hope I'm wrong.
I'm pretty sure the way they ended is going to lead straight into New World Order. Well, Armor Wars and the next Captain America movie. Because it was supposed to be called New World Order, but I think they're changing the name.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I saw something about it a little while ago that they're changing the name on that.
Okay. Yeah, I think that... Yeah, so again, in Secret Invasion, one of the things that happens in the comics, one of the things that happens is the Skrulls upload, because they get access to tech, they upload a computer virus which infects Tony's armor and all Stark tech. And the Sword space station, which ends up blowing up. And one of the things that they do is a Skrull impersonating Sue Storm gets into the Baxter building, opens up a portal to the negative zone, and basically causes the Baxter building to get sucked, imploding into the negative zone, and she kills herself. It's like there's a giant thing. It's this big event. So they're not clearly going that way. They're going to stay in the subterfuge end of things. I still don't even know what they're going to do with the Super Skrull.
Yeah.
Right? Because like we don't have any superpowers right now. We got Rhodey.
He's got a suit.
Not a good enough one.
No.
not to have those four powers in one. So, I don't know. Do we know of any guest stars coming?
I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen any information. If there's anything going on, they're keeping it very tight-lipped.
Oh, you know who could be. The obvious one is Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
A cameo.
Yeah, especially with the movie coming up.
Well, and the content, right? I mean, just the whole Skrull thing. So, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I thoroughly enjoyed this episode, and I cannot wait for more.
Yeah, I liked it a lot, and the ending was like, holy crap!
Yeah, exactly. All right, and with that, we will wrap things up. Sen, where can people find you?
You can find me on my channel at twitch.tv/SenRaven for some Marvel Strike Force gameplay, a couple of other games here and there. I got a couple of codes that got sent to me, so I'm going to be playing a few other games.
Nice.
So come hang out, come say hello, request some music, just come chill.
Sweet. And I can be found everywhere at VO by Kurt, except on Twitter at RealVOByKurt. Check out my TikTok at VO by Kurt, where I am documenting my weight loss journey. And here's a scoop, because nobody knows this yet. As of this morning, I am down 99 pounds.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. So stop by and check things out. It's a really cool weight loss community, and if you are on your own weight loss journey, check it out. Also, I'm going to be at Dragon Con over Labor Day weekend, and I will give a little bit more information as we get closer to that. With that, we will see you all next week. Have a good one.
Bye, everybody. I'm not a Skrull.